I want to actually follow up on that, Corey, drawing together your two answers. Like as Tom said, we teach the Holocaust. It has such a central place in the school curriculum because we still see it as relevant and because it can will teach us lessons about today and about, as Tom says, the human condition. And comparison is pretty key to that. It's relating that history to what is going on elsewhere or in other circumstances. But in the COVID-19 pandemic, we've also seen occasions of the Holocaust memory being used, or perhaps you could say abused, to protest against regulations, to protest against the vaccine. We've seen the Star of David being used at several protests across the world. We've seen that imagery of Auschwitz used in posters and leaflets. How do teachers, how do they help counter and challenge what might be a fair comparison or other occasions where really there is no historical accuracy in the way the Holocaust is being used?
And I guess this is where it becomes really difficult, isn't it? Because actually, ultimately, so for example, the comparison of a vaccine passport to wearing a yellow star, right, is just, banal and ridiculous, right? And I'm not answering your question is to say, how do you differentiate? So where is the point where actually you say, no, that isn't right. That isn't a legitimate form of comparison. And I guess it's, for me, it's very difficult to set out a series of rules about that, other than, and maybe this is a ridiculous thing to say, but other than the intent behind it in the first instance. So the intent behind the examples that you give there, Heather, isn't to help her. It's an entirely kind of well, it's not an effort to, as I say, to help us either understand either past or present. It's an entirely political use of a symbol, and it's entirely reliant on its current, cachet.
I agree with Tom, and the intention was rhetorical, and the intention was to pull on the fact that there's a historical wound, that they knew that this was provocative, that they knew that when people see the yellow star, they are going to be offended and upset, to give this protest its power, because they knew that most people would ignore their arguments otherwise. So this was a way to quickly generate outrage to get attention. And I think that that's one of the ways in which we can easily see that that is a completely inappropriate means of comparison. The other is, of course, that it's completely fatuous to compare being vaccinated or having to wear a mask on a train to living in a totalitarian dictatorship. It's completely insane. So I think another example of a similar comparison to the Holocaust history is when Arnie compared the 6th of January coup attempt at the United States Congress buildings to Kristallnacht. And I think that it could actually be quite an illuminating conversation with students to explore the extent to which that comparison is valid. I personally think it's a completely invalid comparison because it's wrong in terms of the scale of the attempted actions versus the amount of disruption and death that occurred on Kristallnacht. It's wrong in the sense of being one being state sponsored and one being a coup attempt with links to the presidency, but not with the sponsoring of the state. And once you start to examine it, it's clear that actually these things are completely distinct. And I think that's something students are quite able to engage in and engage in critical thinking around to form their own understanding of where it is valuable to discuss the Holocaust and where it is valuable to not discuss the Holocaust when discussing contemporary political events or discussing other historical events. And I think students are quite able to think in those terms. And I think being critical of them is a really good way to help students reflect on their own understanding of events and of the Holocaust as a process.
And I guess if I could add to that, I think that it's an interesting example. So the ongoing conversation that took place during the Trump presidency as to whether Trump was a fascist or not seemed to me to be a perfectly legitimate conversation and a legitimate set of questions. Whether or not you concluded this was a fascistic movement or not, it was a way into a conversation that allowed us, again, to form better understanding of both our past and our present. And that seems to me to be a perfectly legitimate thing to do. So the exercise is legitimate. Whether the conclusion, is right or wrong, whether the conclusion was that was a comparison to fascism to be made or not, is in a sense immaterial. It was a useful, seems to me a useful conversation that allowed us to draw out ultimately the reasons why it wasn't a very useful comparison and told us something about the past, but it also told us something about the function of kind of populism in politics in the present that was also useful. So comparison doesn't have to be one that you ultimately would find entirely comfortable for it to have been a useful conversation. I think the examples that we're talking about just it doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't help you understand anything really. And it is just, as Corey said, an entirely rhetorical device that is ultimately, yes, I would agree, designed to pick at a wound rather than to help understanding of anything really.